Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34, verse 1. I was so inspired by Brian on Sunday that I'm going to just start doing some Old Testament narratives, you know, as we continue on, probably for this week. Maybe next as well. And so Exodus 34, let's just read from verse 1. Now the Lord said to Moses, cut out for yourself two stone tablets like the former ones, and I'll write on the tablets the words that were on the former tablets which you shattered. So be ready by morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain. And no man is to come up with you, nor let any man be seen anywhere on the mountain. Even the flocks and the herds may not gaze in front of that mountain. So he cut out two stone tablets like the former ones, and Moses rose up early in the morning, went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and he took two stone tablets in his hand. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on their children and the grandchildren in the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. And he said, if now I have found favor in thy sight, O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go along in our midst, even though the people are so obstinate, and do thou pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as thine own possession. Then God said, behold, I am going to make a covenant. Before all your people, I will perform miracles which have not been produced in all the earth, nor among any of the nations. And all the people among whom you live will see the working of the Lord, for it is a fearful thing that I am going to perform with you. Be sure to observe that I am coming to you this day. Behold, I am going to drive out the Amorite before you, and the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Watch yourself that you make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land into which you are going, lest it become a snare in your midst. Amen. Okay, so let me draw this picture out a little bit. We're familiar with this passage in Exodus. So they're about to go into the Promised Land. You know, I think Pastor Brian talked about it a little bit on Sunday. So Moses up in the mountains, he stays there for a long time. And so while he's there, you know, the people get very restless. And the basic idea is they say, you know what? Let's go back to our former way of doing things. Obviously, Moses is dead. And so, you know, Moses gets the tablets. He comes back down and he sees the people, you know, having an orgy. I mean, and what they did is they brought all of their gold. You know, remember, it was God's promise to the Israelites that when they left Egypt, they would not be leaving empty-handed. I mean, that was God's provision, okay? And that was a promise God made. God said, you're not just going to go out to the desert alone. You're going to go out with such blessing that the Egyptians are going to give you stuff. You know, and so they go out with all their gold, with all their jewels, all this stuff. They give it to Aaron, and they make this golden calf, okay? And so they basically take what God has blessed them with, and they start worshiping that very thing. Now, that's a very interesting commentary, right? Because a lot of times God gives us stuff, and we start worshiping them, right? We commit the very same sin that the Israelites. You know, a lot of times when I read the Bible, especially the Old Testament, a lot of times in my mind I think, man, those guys are so stupid. You know, why do they do stuff like this? It's just, you know, like you want to pull your hair out, right? And then every once in a while the Holy Spirit says, hey, stop right there. You know, listen to me real quick, right? Think about this for a second. Don't you do the same thing, right? And then, you know, you start having a little more grace for the Israelites, right? But then you say, well, I'm not chosen, you know, like these guys are. But then that's a bad excuse. So you continue on. And then, so Moses pleads on behalf of the Israelites and say, you know, Lord, don't, please don't do this thing. You know, and the Lord tells him in the beginning, he says, you know what, I'm going to send an angel and he's going to lead you through the way. Right, and then Moses says, no, we don't want the angel, we want you, you know, and which is another interesting commentary. Listen, just because you see power in operation does not mean that God's in it, okay? You know, we are people, we are so seduced by power, you know. This is a real problem, especially in the charismatic church, that we are so seduced by someone that is able to give a prophetic word, you know, or, you know, that's able to prophesy really well, you know, and we so focus on those things, right, that we lose sight of the character of the person. You know, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, right? And so, you know, what I like to see beyond that, you know, like, okay, I appreciate the prophetic gift, but I want to see the character of Jesus lived out in that person's life as well. You know, and I've been around a lot of prophetic people, and a lot of people, it's just about getting the word. For some other people, though, it's about ministering that word. That's the character of Jesus in operation, right? You know, it's like the prophet that says, you're a sinner, you're going to go to hell. Well, that doesn't really help a lot of people. I think people already know that. You know, the prophetic word or prophetic voice is how to get them out of hell. You know, and so, you know, don't be seduced by it, because just where there's power doesn't necessarily mean that's where God's spirit is, right? And so we see this a lot. You know, we see a lot of, you know, false religions. We see a lot of false power. We see a lot of people that are operating power that eventually fall very hard. You know, I mean, there was just a big revival in Florida where this thing happened, because it's a character thing. So he says, no, you know, Lord, we don't just want the power. We want your presence. See, there was something different about Moses, you know. I think, personally, my own interpretation, I think is because Moses enjoyed power. Remember when he was in Egypt? It was something, and then he spent 40 years in the backside of the desert, and he learned to walk with God, in communion with God, in the presence of the Lord. And then if he weighs the two, right, 40 years of power in Egypt, you know, or, well, not necessarily 40, but many years, and then 40 years in the desert with Jesus, you know, with the presence of God, and he chose the presence. So something happened to Moses during this time. And so he comes to this place, right? And so now Lord has compassion. And this is verse 34, verse 6 and 7. Don't lose sight of what he's saying here. He says, the Lord passed by in front of him, right, and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Now, this is the first time in the scriptures that we have a self-description of God's character. Okay, so just walk with me through this for a moment, okay? So, God wants to reveal a revelation of himself and who he is in character, right? You know, how he's really like as a person. What kind of God is he really like? And he waits for a significant moment to express who he is. What moment does he wait for? He waits for Israel to come to the lowest point of their existence. Right? I mean, they are on the brink of disaster. You know, by all counts, they deserve fire to come down from heaven and consume them. Right? They, you know, God promised them gold and blessing. They've taken those things, and then they melt it down, and they begin to worship that very thing that God had given them. Even worse than when they did in Egypt. They're on the brink of entering into the promised land, a promise from God, right? Going back to Abraham, right? They're on the brink of coming to the place of promise, and they go worship other idols, and they worship idols that God had given them. I mean, used from the things that God had given them. They are in the lowest state of their existence. And then God brings revelation. This is who I am. I am the Lord God, slow to anger, compassionate, abounding in loving kindness and truth. You know, I suggest to you that this whole desert, wilderness, wandering, all that stuff is a setup. God sets him up in a way, right? So that he can reveal his true character to his people. They will not receive, you know, if they were coming out, you know, and let's say, you know, God opened up the Sea of Reeds, right? And these guys went through, and God were to stand there and say, I am the Lord God, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth. You know, be like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, of course you are. You know, yeah, you said it, that's fine. But when you come to the lowest state of your life, the Israelites, and then the Lord comes and says, I've forgiven you because this is who I am. right? This is the first self-revelation of God in the scriptures, right? Nowhere else before Exodus 34 we get any idea of God's character. You know, we have, you know, you have little glimpses here and there, but you have no picture of his self-revelation. In other words, the way that he wants to reveal himself to his people, non-existent until Exodus 34. And God finds the most opportune time, you know, I mean, the lowest point of existence, and then he tells them, you know what? This is who I am. I am God, and I am loving, and I'm compassionate, and I'm slow to anger, and I'm abounding in loving kindness and truth. You know, it's said that, you know, in our time, you will not feel a need for a savior until you need saving. You know what I mean? And these guys need some serious saving, and now they begin to see who God is as he reveals himself to them. It's a setup. You know, he reveals to him the greatness of his character, the greatness of his heart, and then he renews the covenant, you know, that they had made before. And then that's where the Ten Commandments come from, right? It's not necessarily rules and regulations, you know. But, you know, Brian touched upon it a little bit, so I don't have to speak so much. But there's something that's happening there. He renews it. And he brings them back into fellowship. And notice, and you'll see this theme woven all throughout, he will lessen the demands as the Old Testament goes along, right? You know, it's like the standard is this, and Israel doesn't come through, so God will lower the standard. And then they don't, and he'll lower it again. And you'll see this happening all the time. It's like when like a New Testament picture of that would be in John, where Jesus is talking to Peter, you know, and if you understand the interchange, especially in the Greek, you know, and he says, Peter, do you agapeo me? You know, and Peter responds, you know, I love you like a friend, I phileo you, you know, and then Jesus says, well, do you agapeo me? You know, and Peter says, I phileo you, you know, the word love, but different meanings of love, right? One meaning unconditional, the other one meaning friendship. And then Jesus turns, and the third time he says, okay, Peter, do you phileo me, right? Do you love me like a friend? And Peter says, Lord, I've been telling you this the whole time, right? And so basically, Jesus lowers his standard to meet Peter where he's at. He gives the same command, tend your sheep, take care of, your lambs, you know, same assignment, but in terms of, you know, he not necessarily lowers his expectations, but he comes down to earth, right? And to meet, you know, to meet Peter and where he's at. It's like as a dad, you know, if I really want to connect with my kids, this is all the books tell you this, right? So just as a little tip for you when you become parents, you know, when you really want to connect with your child, they said don't stand up and hover over your kid, which I'm really good at, right? You know, and my wife is always telling me, Sam, get down on your knees, you know, and look at them face to face, eye to eye, not towering over, but, you know, so I'm squatting all the time, you know, talking to Emma and Elise, you know, and that's, you know, psychologists, you know, children development people, they tell you that's the way that you're supposed to speak with people, you know, or speak with little kids. And it's almost the same way, you know. God basically came down from heaven and he stooped down really low, you know, and he lowers his, you know, his standards in a way to meet us where we're at. And we see this happening throughout the life of the Israelites, but also in our own lives. You know, God meets us where we're at. He knows where we're at, and he, in essence, gets down on our knees, you know, on his knees, to see us face to face, eye to eye. And he ministers to us in that way. You know, he's not a God that stands far off and hovers over us, you know, like, you know, like some mean teacher that's waiting for us to make a mistake. You know, he gets down on his knees before us and sees us face to face. Because his heart, right? He says, I am the Lord God. I mean, if you wanted to make a self-representation of who you are, if I was God, you know, I would just say, I'm God, and I'm awesome. And so you be careful, man, right? And that's why I'm not God. And thank God I'm not God, right? You know, and God says, I am God, and I am compassionate. I am gracious. I'm slow to anger, and I'm abounding in loving kindness and truth. That is the true character of God. And when you read this, you recognize that this is something that he's wanting to say to his people. You know, even when he said, let there be light, the next word he wanted to say is, I'm God, I'm compassionate, I'm slow to anger, right? And he waited and waited and waited and waited until a perfect opportunity where Israel would receive the full grasp of who God really is. I'm the Lord God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. So let's close our eyes today. As we come face to face with the character of our God, I know there's that song, Our God is an Awesome God. Great song. I wish someone would write something like, Our God is a Caring God. Or Our God is a Gracious God. See, you can never mess up too much for the Lord. See, what God does, he gets out of heaven, he comes down to be like us, he gets on his knees and sees us face to face to help us. That's what we call the incarnation. But he didn't just stop there. What he does is he takes our hand, and as he gets up, he picks us up as well. That's justification, sanctification. And then we get to go where he's gone. And that's called resurrection. And so this morning, let's just thank God as Monica leads us in a song. Let's thank him for his graciousness. You know, it's a very common phrase in a lot of churches, right? But for the grace of God, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But really, but for the grace of God, none of us would be here. But for the grace of God, we would have not known the forgiveness of the Lord. But for the grace of God, we would not have our jobs. We would not have our families. We would not have our ministries. But really, for the grace of God, we would be dead. And so this morning, let's just worship and thank Jesus for coming down and getting on his knees before us, and then lifting us up, and then taking us to where he is.
I'm give you the highest praise. We 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 give you the highest praise. Oh, we give you. We give you the highest praise. We give you the highest praise. We give you the highest praise. I need you more, more than yesterday. I need you more, more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
Let's pray for ourselves, and especially let's pray for our community, our church, our families. Let's pray that we would be repentant. And this is the doorway to revival. And repentant, not necessarily because, you know, we're just repentant, but, you know, there's a great verse in the New Testament. It says, it's His kindness that leads us to repentance. It's because we have a glimpse of God and who He is. We have a glimpse of His truth, His righteousness, His love. And that's what leads us to repentance. Not out of guilt or, you know, or out of a desperate, you know, kind of, we look at the cross and we feel sorry. It's more that we look at the kindness of God. It's His kindness that leads us to repentance. Let's pray that for our church and our community around us. And let's pray for repentant hearts. But that's woven out of a revelation of who He is in His goodness, in His kindness. And we see how gracious He is, and it leads us to our knees. And let's pray that. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for Causeway Bay and MacDaddy and Tregunter and Kowloon. Let's ask the Lord to continue to bless and breathe life into the leaders. Let's pray for wisdom for the leaders as well. Some of the house churches are just humongous, and so we may have to even split real soon. And so let's ask God to give wisdom to the leadership, and that new leaders would rise up, and new venues would rise up as well. And just bless our time that we have this week together. Let's pray. Let's pray for our retreat that's coming up. Let's ask God to just bring His presence into that place. Let's pray for a move of God in our lives. You know, this is the year of reaping, and I feel like after our retreat, man, there's going to be so much reaping of things that people have sown for years. And so let's pray for Dan Snead as he leads us. And, you know, like I shared yesterday, he got his visa and his ticket, and he's ready to go. Now let's ask the Lord to put the words of the Lord in his heart for our community. And you know, and he's a very prophetic person. And let's pray that the gift would just flow through him as he ministers during that time. Let's pray for everyone else at church, for our visa. You know, only half the church has signed up so far. And so let's pray the other half would step in line, you know, and just really would want to be a part of the community and especially in this retreat. And so let's pray for, you know, schedules to open up and finances to be released and, you know, all that good stuff. And so let's just cover this retreat right now. Let's pray for our move and our building search and our fund. Let's ask for God's grace to come over us. We shared yesterday, we had our meeting, and it went well. Nothing's set yet, you know, so we just keep praying and keep waiting on the Lord. But there's a very, very high probability, you know, that something's going to happen at the end of this year. And so let's just keep praying to the Lord and seeking His face, and pray that people will continue to give, and, you know, and we'd really see the Lord's hand in it for our church. Huh? Let's pray. And lastly, let's pray for all the ministries here in Hong Kong that we support, as well as you know, just the churches here, and as they gather together, that Jesus would be high and lifted up. Let's pray for YWAM and for Ashanti Ministries, that God willing. Let's pray for Face to Face with Pastor Jimmy. And I think he's leaving to Atlanta today, I think. And so let's cover him and his family. Let's pray for Zengsheng Association and the college, and the Lord would continue to bless them as they look for a new place as well, and the favor of the Lord be upon them. Let's pray for sports services as they continue to minister to kids all over Hong Kong, and let's just ask for the grace of God to be extended through all these organizations, and pray for Feed the Hungry, and the Lord continue to use Armanda and raise up people and donors that would really give and see and this is the compassion of God flowing through their lives. Right? Let's just lift up Hong Kong and all the ministries and churches and ask the Lord's blessing to descend upon us as we be a blessing to everyone else. Thank you. Lord, we are so humbled, God, at the revelation, Lord. God, you are the Lord God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Lord, that comes in such a contrast to many people in our world, God, even in our church, that believe that you are quick to anger, God, that you are vengeful. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would teach us, God, who you really are, Lord. And especially, God, in the moments of our lives where we're at the lowest, God, that the moments when we are the most receptive to that word, God, that you would come like a rushing wind, God, and you would speak to us, Lord, and you would raise us up, Father. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us. Watch over our church. Watch over our brothers and sisters, over our community. Lord, bless Hong Kong through us, God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week this week, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.